ECER 2009, the podcasts. This interview is with Palle Rasmussen from Aalborg University in Denmark. Palle, welcome. Thank you for agreeing to be interviewed. Okay. I know I've been told you're from the Policy Network. What have you been presenting at this conference?
Well, in fact, I haven't been presenting anything yet because I'm in the last session, which is later today. And I'm presenting together with a colleague from my university, Aalborg, Denmark, a paper on the issue of dropout in secondary education, especially vocational secondary education, where we sort of compare the official discourse with evidence from some of these young people.
Okay, and how do the official discourses and the evidence match up? Do they or don't they?
They don't quite match up, no. I mean, in the official discourse, these young people are sort of constructed as, well, empty vessels in a way. They don't have real opinions about things. They don't have much individuality. So it's a question of pushing, guiding them in the correct direction. If you do that as early as possible, they will end up getting a secondary vocational education. And I think their own evidence is rather that they do, in fact, have wishes and ideas and opinions, but run into different kind of barriers, institutional barriers, barriers of school structure, barriers of subsistence in order to meet this. So, well.
And how does that affect how we deal with those people? What how can we change what we're offering those young people?
Well, the young people we have been interviewed are in a type of school called a production school in Denmark. This is sort of an intermediate school for people who leave the basic education and then do not really decide, and then they have to find out something. And we think this production school is a sound environment because it allows these young people to form ideas and to try out different things before they move on. So I mean, our opinion is mainly that these young people shouldn't be pushed into any particular direction too early because that will just, in the end, be negative. I mean, they'll drop out because they weren't prepared enough. So they should have space, room to unfold their own motivations and get prepared.
And I suppose because this is an international conference, presumably you've looked at some of the policies in other countries towards school dropouts. How does this compare what's happening in Denmark with what's happening in other countries?
Well, I wouldn't say we have looked very closely, but I mean, it's the same problem that many. I mean, also, if you look at the Lisbon objectives, reducing secondary education dropout is a main objective, and one which isn't going very well, in fact. And so it's in many ways the same type of problem. And I think generally the solutions are the same as the official solutions in Denmark. More guidance. Trying to identify potential problems as early as possible and then sort of bombarding them with information and guidance and like that.
I suppose one of the issues is that we've prolonged school very much in our education systems over the last 30, 40 years.
Yeah.
Is that the right way? Do we have to prolong school? Maybe it's that young people want to get out into the world.
Well, yeah, but on the other hand, I think we do have to prolong school. I mean, this doesn't happen in a vacuum. It happens in a situation where unskilled jobs are disappearing very fast and the chances for young people leaving school too early are not very good. So it's sensible for young people to get an education. It's just the question of how do we sort of lead this process in the best possible way.
And you talked about guidance. I know guidance is becoming a big issue in many European countries, but we don't have similar systems and an ethos of guidance. And I know in Denmark there's been big discussions around that guidance issue. What role do you see guidance playing and who should be doing it?
Well, this is a difficult question. I think most surveys indicate that official guidance officers and like that play a limited role. The main guidance is provided by parents, by peers, by teachers, but not necessarily by the guidance officers. So you should be realistic. I think there's been a tendency to overrate the importance of guidance in that way. Not that it should be there, of course, but it should be a bit more realistic. And then there is, I think in Denmark we've had this discussion, should guidance be organized as part of the school system, done by the teachers, or should it be independent? And the argument for it being independent is that then it's not tied to any particular school system. I mean, for instance, there's been the argument that because the basic school teachers mainly looked to the academic streams of secondary education, they wouldn't guide young people into vocational education. And that is probably true. On the other hand, what has happened now is that guidance has been placed outside all school systems, and it's become more isolated. I think it limits the role of guidance. In fact, it's not easy to make a solution where you place it outside everything. I have no sort of golden solution for these things.
But it's an issue.
Yeah, it is.
Which needs to be looked at.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, in terms of this conference, the theme of this conference is evidence-based policy.
Mm.
Do you see that happening, or is it a dream?
Well, I see it happening in some ways. It's not... No, I wouldn't call it a dream. In some ways, it's a nightmare. I mean, it's because in some ways, the concept of evidence-based policy is sort of used to legitimate things which are not really evidence-based. But on the other hand, there's no doubt. I mean, if you looked at the way that policy agencies are functioning, they have been over the last 2-3 decades been drawing much more on research and trying to use valid information in the policy process. So, I mean, where I see it is mainly there are limits to that. Policy is also driven by ideologies, by power relations, things like that, and that will not change no matter how much evidence we get. Policy has become more evidence-based, but many important decisions will not necessarily reflect the evidence. If you
and I suppose the very last question then, and then I'll let you get on, is the relationship between researchers and policymakers. Research is very dependent on policy for its funding, and we have that other relationship which says, yes, the policymakers want evidence to base policy on. It sometimes seems to me an uneasy relationship.
I think it is also very often. I mean, if you look at it from the researcher side, researchers should sort of have an independence in making judgments about things. So they shouldn't be tied in too closely with delivering the right knowledge at the right time for policy. On the other hand, of course, I mean, and I think it's not only a funding issue. It's also that if you want to make interesting education research, you have to engage with policy. You have to be sort of involve yourself also with the policymakers and what their ideas and wishes are. Otherwise, it'll become too abstract what you work with. So
it's getting that balance right.
Yeah, it is.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
This recording was made at the ECER conference in Vienna in September 2009. It is a Pontedusky and VetNet production for ECER. The program is licensed under a Creative Commons Non-Commercial Attribution Share Alike license.